Hi, welcome to this week's 3x4 Wheels F1 podcast. It's Paul here with
Dan
and Lee.
Still Chrysalis, he's missing somewhere, still stalking Mark Webber. We've not heard from him for a couple of days, so watch out for the snakes.
Missing, presumed drunk.
That wouldn't surprise me in the slightest. I mean, he has gone to somewhere where everything can kill you. And will. These were his own words before he went. Why would you want to go to a country where even the toilets are deadly?
Well, I saw that film.
We'll leave you with that thought. We'll move on to I was going to say slightly happier things, but Kevin Magnussen.
So, yeah, last week we wished him a very happy birthday.
And he had a very birthday.
As did Ron Dennis.
Yes. K-Mag celebrated his birthday by opening an email from who he thought were his employers at the time, saying, "Thanks, we don't want you anymore." Not the best present he could possibly have wished for.
Except it does free him up to race if anyone will hire him. Shall we have some speculation? Who would hire him?
I think mad speculation is good. Lotus, Renault, whatever they're going to be called. There's a seat there. I don't know. Gutierrez is looking more and more favourite for that one.
Do you think so? I think the longer it goes without that being announced, is the less likely it's Gutierrez.
Well, what I've been hearing is that it's kind of this close to ink being on a deal. For the listeners at home, or in their cars, or in their workplaces, I'm indicating it's quite close.
About the size of a cat penis.
I wouldn't know, thankfully.
Just me.
Just you. So I think Lotus is more likely for him. Depending on, of course, Ron was taking him around Denmark, pimping him out to potential sponsors. Saying, you know, put your bacon where your mouth is and sponsor our Danish driver.
But let's not forget that he was taking them around sponsors to try and get money in. So he could convince McLaren to take Kevin Magnussen instead of Jensen Button.
But it might be now that all these Danish companies still want to sponsor Magnussen, regardless of who he's driving for.
But they didn't want to sponsor him when he was going to drive for McLaren. Why would they want to sponsor him now?
Yeah, but there was no certainties that he was going to drive for McLaren. So would he be able to get a seat conditional on raising a decent amount of sponsorship? We're not talking sort of Maldonado amounts, not even Grosjean amounts, but he would probably still have to bring something into the cash-strapped Enstone team.
I can't see it. If he had potential sponsors, they'd have already been in there. They'd have already agreed to sponsor.
I don't know. Is it one of these catch-22? You show us your sponsors' checks, we'll give you a drive. And the sponsors are saying, you show us your contract, we'll give you the check.
Well, in that case, there could be letters of intent signed.
Yeah, yeah. Is it one of these? Is he stuck in a chicken and egg, which goes nice with bacon situations? Sorry.
Boom.
Yeah.
Talking of people who could drive for Lotus, who else is in the frame at the moment?
Julian Palmer, obviously. His name seems to be coming up quite a bit, just because
he's there already,
and Lee keeps saying it. And if you say something enough times, and on the internet, and in capitals, it must come true.
Yeah,
Jensen Button did.
McLaren being good by Belgium didn't say which Belgium. Verne is up there as well with Palmer,
and he really does deserve more of a chance of a Formula One career than Toro Rosso allowed him.
Yeah, I know you like Formula E, Dan, but he was wasted in that.
I think there's been great racing in there, but it's not the Premier Motorsport Series.
No.
Do you know what? One thing I will say, Formula E, I think if it wasn't for Jean-Éric Vergne going into Formula E, almost winning his first race and then doing very well in every race after that, I think that's revived his racing career.
I can't argue with that.
That made people talk about him.
He was a solid driver at Toro Rosso, but doing so well against an awful lot of ex-Formula One drivers, and just because they're not the ones winning championships at the moment, doesn't mean they're not still some of the world's best drivers.
No.
I mean, and he's been doing very well against all of them.
Yeah. He was unfortunate to be stuck in the... Well, not unfortunate, because look at who you're working for if you're part of the Red Bull Junior team. But it's essentially a Formula One battery farm, and battery farms rarely work out well for the chickens.
Something else that I have just noticed in regard to the Haas team. I'm holding up my tablet with a story from 10 hours ago.
Oh, Jesus.
Which has reared its head again, slowly. Max Chilton apparently is back in talks.
They've just realised they need some cash.
Yeah. He's revealed. He has. Very, very slowly.
Are they going to have to deny this again in another couple of hours? Just shut up, Max. We're trying to run a proper Formula One team. That's what we need, is you.
Well, he has revealed he is one of 10 drivers who have been contacted by them.
For
the second seat.
It's not going to be Gutierrez that has that seat. They've already got Ferrari engines. If it was going to be Gutierrez, they would have unveiled it when they unveiled Grosjean, put the whole team out there. They were supposed to have two drivers at the when Grosjean was there. So that means something went tits for one of them.
But that could be sponsorship, or it could be all sorts of interesting contractual
things. It could be, but I don't think... With it being Ferrari's junior team, essentially, I don't understand what the holdup would be for them to announce Ferrari's reserve driver as their next year's driver.
Well, it could be something along the lines of Gutierrez has sponsorship from a company. Part of that sponsorship is that he can't represent one of their competitors, and Haas is sponsored by one of their competitors. That's just an example.
That would be some awful administrative errors, wouldn't it? For that to go on to the point where you're supposed to announce your drivers, and then someone go, oh shit. Well, we can't do this.
It may not be a sudden oh shit moment. It could be months and months of contractual wrangling that they thought they
possibly
would have completed by the time they were announcing one of their drivers.
Yeah.
So basically, what we're saying is we still don't have a clue, and we're just sticking.
We're guessing with the best of them.
Yeah.
And we've been right more than we've been wrong.
And we can edit the old podcast to.
Yeah.
To back that up.
To say that we've been 100% right.
I have no idea who's going to be in either of those seats.
The other place for Magnussen that has been discussed is Manor. Now, that would be reliant on him bringing money into the team.
Yeah.
They need cash. They need pay drivers.
But they also need good drivers. They've got the engine next year, they've got the drivetrain. It sounds like they have the mechanics and the team in place to do a reasonable run at getting points.
Is Lego's from Denmark, innit?
Lego is from Denmark.
Yeah. Because I'm thinking that if for Manor, like the Lego Technic division in Lego would probably be a real step forward for them in aero.
Oh dear. But it's blatantly obvious that Roberto Meri won't be sticking around, seeing as using Alex Rossi while they've still got use of him, because Ferrari on him.
Yeah.
Is Manor's second drive going to be somebody that's put there by Mercedes? I know Pascal Wehrlein's been mentioned quite a bit, who Mercedes own.
Yeah.
But are Manor going to want someone that will actually bring more cash in, because they've got the engine deal signed, and will they have a driver pushed on them that comes as part of the engine package?
I think you could do far worse than having Pascal Wehrlein pushed on you.
That is true, but will they need more money? If that's the case, does Will Stevens have enough money to, because he's going to have to,
it seems like it,
he's going to have to up his payment. Because he is effectively going to have to pay the budget for that they'd have brought, the sponsorship budget that two drivers would have brought in.
Or will just the fact that they're going to be in a position to score points mean that they can say to their creditors, we are going to be scoring points. We are going to be getting cash from that.
That is
you spot us for a year.
I don't think they can jump out and sort of, for want of better words, play themselves as a real Formula One team yet. I think they need another year of pay drivers and then hopefully scoring points. And then next year, the days of 2017, look towards that.
I think they need talented pay drivers to be able to challenge.
I totally agree, but
that's an oxymoron.
but now because they've got the Mercedes engine in the back of it, it's a much more attractive package for a driver to go to. So I would say that if anything, all it means is they can charge more.
Possibly.
Yeah, and are we going to see TFI Friday back on the Manor Cars now that it's on TV again?
Who knows?
Well, again, this goes with sponsors as well. If they think they're going to be further up the grid, I think you'll find less of this. We'll give you 50 quid if you stick our name on the side of it.
We're not going to get our name on a Manor ever, are we?
I don't want our name on a Manor. Fuck them.
And whatever chance we had, albeit little and cap
as much as the best thing I can say about Manor is who's your man that's in charge?
Graham Lagman.
A fabulous hair. Fabulous hair, that man. It's soft while still having body to it and not moving around too much. It's feathered. It's ace.
Now we are going to be seeing a very, very different Manor team in 2016.
I thought you were going to say he's going to have a very different haircut in 2016. That'd be good.
I don't have any insight into his haircut. I mean, the insight I've got into the Manor team is the rumours I've read on the internet.
Yeah, but the insight being limited at best. Yes.
Grooming products aside... you've got the running order.
It's okay. Yeah. If you listen back to it and that bit shit, you can just snip it out. Sorry, I'm conditioned for these jokes.
Moving swiftly on. You know, we had a really good week for listeners last week.
Yeah.
They've all just switched off.
Talking of things that have been painfully disappointing.
Sorry.
Yes.
Renault are rolling out their upgraded engines or making them
available. Yes, basically they've said that for Austin this weekend, upgraded engines will be available for Red Bull and Toro Rosso if they want to use them. However, it will incur grid penalties.
Now, the original design of this engine was looking to give about 50 extra horsepower, wasn't it? Something like that. Around half a second a lap, was it?
About that.
And then that figure has been revised down and down.
It'll be a bit quicker.
It will be a bit quicker, but it's going to be a tough call if what we've read on dodgy sites on the internet is to be believed. It's going to be a tough call as to whether it's worth taking the grid penalty to use the new engine or...
But... this does open up another question about the future of Red Bull as well. Because all we've had for the last few months is Red Bull and Renault can't stand the sight of each other. It's over. There is no partnership between them. It is on paper. We are both desperate to get out of it. All of a sudden, Red Bull are left without an engine supplier for next year that they want to move to. And they still do, at the moment, because nothing's been signed, have a contract with Renault for next season. And why, if Renault are going to be completely redesigning the engine during the off-season, which they're entitled to, why would Renault, all of a sudden, go to Red Bull and say, we've made this engine that you've been slagging off all year a little bit better for you? And make it available to them?
Because it's just engine development, isn't it? If they develop the engines, they're just cutting their own nose off spite the face.
Well, no, because surely if they were working on engine development, they would have been looking at next year's engine and starting things with that.
Well, they had also been in parallel working on engine development for this year's engine.
Which you'd think if they didn't want Red Bull to have anything more and they'd completely fallen out with them, they would have frozen the development.
It's all development, isn't it? It's all information that can be carried over into next year.
And once you've thrown, I don't know how many £100,000 and how many man hours into improving the engine, are you going to say, yeah, let's just throw that away? Or are you going to say, well, here it is, take it or leave it?
Or put what they've worked on towards next year's spec of engine and just don't give Red Bull the option. Unless they just want to run it as a test.
Yeah, but I was just going to say, you don't know if it's going to work until you stick on track.
True.
I think Red Bull, because let's face it, they've not been the most gracious of teams through this whole situation.
Because in your words, it's only easy to be magnanimous when you're that far ahead.
Yeah.
And they're not.
What worries me is the fact that the Lotus Renault deal hasn't been put out at anything more since the letter of intent. It's just gone quiet.
We've still got another 3 weeks to run on that, so that's going to be a last minute thing.
And I assume that's roomfuls of lawyers with big piles of papers and law books.
Yeah, but what those lawyers might be looking at now isn't the Red Bull's deal with Renault that they have to be the number one supplied team.
Is it preferred customer, premier customer?
Preferred customer.
There also something about that where they weren't keen on Renault having their own team in Formula One if they were the preferred customer?
The line from Red Bull a while ago was that if Renault were running a works team, then by default it was impossible to be a preferred customer.
So in that case, does that mean that now all of a sudden that Ferrari and Mercedes don't want to supply Red Bull? If they still want to be on the grid next year, they're saying, no, we want you have a deal with us to supply us with engines, and that's thrown a spanner in the works of the takeover.
It's possible.
You silenced us all.
Yes! Didn't even have to swear or say anything like racist or
anything. Well, usually happens for bad reasons. But my two cents is, I can see Red Bull in their next year running a Renault engine. They will still be a preferred customer, and they will get the same spec engine that's in the back of the Renault cars.
Yeah.
And just to go on a complete curve, Toro Rosso will be running a 2015 Ferrari in the back of their car.
They can't now, can they? Because the wasn't there a deal made last week that if a manufacturer supplies another team with the engines, it has to be the current spec?
No, you can have this year's or last year's spec as of next year.
I checked that because I think that's changed.
It hadn't 10 minutes ago when I last looked that up.
Right, okay. Because there was some thought about the... Because this is why I don't think... Oh, maybe it means that they can't give B-spec engines of 2016.
Oh, hang on, I have just found something. FIA rule, customer power units to be same spec as works team. So, yeah, in that case, scrap that. So it's got to be current spec. That has actually changed in the last few days.
For the listeners, I'd just like to point out that I was right.
Yep. Damn.
See, it's easy to be magnanimous when you're this far ahead.
Yep, the newly published FIA F1 sporting regulations stipulate that all engines must be the same specification as the unit homologated on February 28th next year. Then again, if we're talking about Ferrari, the rules could be
bent.
Yeah. Curved. Knotted back on itself.
Ignored.
Yeah.
Butchered is a word I would use.
Yeah, so yes, they are the rules at the minute, but that is subject to change depending on the whim of Ferrari, the FIA, Bernie, whoever's in charge. It could be the Chinese, because they look to be buying in for 8.8 billion.
On a quick note, I think both Mercedes and Ferrari knew that rule was coming in, and that's why they won't supply Red Bull.
So if Red Bull had actually swallowed the pride and said, okay, we'll take the 2015 engines, they would still be left in the same position that they're in now.
I don't know. I know that's why... Well, I don't know. It's not like Toto rang me up and said, Lee, I'll tell you.
We can't do the accent, Chris.
Just pretend.
Yeah. Well, when Toto rang me up, I was speaking to him about this.
Unnamed sources, I think.
Yeah. And yeah, this is why I think they can't give Red Bull engines, because they knew that if they agreed to supply Red Bull with engines, they'd have to give them the same one that's in the back of Lewis Hamilton's car. So that would be that engine in an Adrian Newey's car. But, in an Adrian Newey car.
But wasn't the story a few weeks ago that Red Bull had refused a 2015 spec engine?
They had refused the 2015 Ferrari spec engines.
Mm.
Mercedes
they just
came out and
it,
just
they?
Said, actually, no, we're not going to do it.
Yeah.
Although Toto Wolff has said this week, yes, we could run a third car if needs be next season.
Yeah.
I told you, I called it ages ago with the Red Bull situation and Mercedes. When Red Bull went knocking for Mercedes engines, Toto Wolff and Niki Lauda turned around to each other and said, no, fuck them. Then they thought, no, hang on, tell them we'll do it, then we'll fuck them.
Do you know what? I think we ought to place limits on the amount of Smuggatron that could be used on podcasts, and you're exceeding it. Oh, yes. Dan.
Sticking with engines, there are, as well as the rule change that Paul's just pointed out, we have in-season testing coming back.
At the request of the engine manufacturers.
And Pirelli as well,
isn't
it?
And Pirelli, yes. That, I think, is a good idea, because you can run things all you want in a simulator, but you can't match the conditions exactly.
And also, the idea of limiting in-season testing was to create a more level playing field for the teams with less money, mm-hmm. and it's not done that.
It's caused the opposite. Well,
it's failed miserably, so yes, the idea was good. Rolling it back is definitely the
right. I think getting rid of it completely, I thought that was a bad idea at the time, because how do you know how a car's going to perform?
Mm-hmm.
There are more variables than you could possibly plug into your simulator software. Maldonado could...
Unless you have simulator software making war, which is going to cost just as much as an engine war.
Yeah.
And this is the thing, isn't it? I mean, a Formula One car, in its essence, or a prototype car, which Formula One cars are, should be a laboratory on wheels, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every time it hits the track, something's being tested. So, you know, if you're looking at it as, like, essentially every car is a scientific experiment, you can't have science without testing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
This is why we've been seeing cars which have found themselves in a non-competitive position in a race still going out and doing 20 and 30 lap stints, just because it's the only opportunity that the teams have got
mm-hmm.
to see what part X does under full track and full race conditions. So let them test.
Do you know the terrifying prospect of this is?
Go on.
So that's more laps on a track than Maldonado has in a car.
They're not going to put the newer parts on his car.
I'd have thought the test driver might be getting a few more laps.
Yeah, that, I mean, if they keep Palmer on as a test driver, that'll give him plenty more laps. But no, I think that is a good thing. It'll also help with the tyre situation as well, because... the Pirelli tyres have been told that they're too unpredictable.
There's a thing. When we were talking about who will fit the Lotus seat.
Yeah.
Mm. It would make sense for it to be Palmer, because it's written into Maldonado's contract that he gets every available opportunity to be in the car. Maldonado never loses FP1. For a test drive.
Yeah, it's always been Grosjean.
So it will be whoever is in the second car that loses FP1 now and again. Yeah. So it would make more sense to have Julian Palmer in as a race driver that's already spent time in the car if they're going to lose time with the development driver.
Oh, God, he's making sense again.
Yeah. That
must be the biscuits.
I feel these ones again.
Yeah. Yeah, what are we on? McVitie's Orange Digestives with chocolate.
Miracle biscuits.
Miracle biscuits.
Yeah, the confectionery is available.
Yeah, we've tried many different formulas of biscuits to get sense out of Lee, and I think we've actually finally hit on the right one.
Yes,
what's the bet when Chris comes back, it'll just they'll turn him into a gibbering wreck.
Probably. I'm talking for two now.
you make a... Oh, I don't like saying this. You make a really good point there.
This might be my highlighted podcast. We will look back on this day and I will get a gold star in my chart.
You know, Lee, you've done so well on this podcast, I'm going to put it on the fridge so I see it every day.
I might
day.
Just leave the room.
But you're right, they can't have a driver who is more of a number one driver than Pastor Maldonado, because it's just not going to work politically.
even though he's pretty number two. Someone had to do it. Yeah, if it is in his contract, which it appears to be, because he always does FP1 when...
No, it is in his contract.
It is in there.
Known fact.
Unless they've changed his terms for next season and said, yes, you are still number one driver, but when it comes to testing and venturing into the unknown with certain parts of the car, we'd like somebody who can bring them back.
If there is anything that Lotus are in the position not to do, it's bargain.
I have a theory here.
Well, he's already paid for next season.
Yes, but he's been finishing races consistently for the past two, which is...
that should never be a thing.
100% increase on what he's managing in the last 20 races or something.
Finishing two races in a row shouldn't be consistent. It's a pair.
I think that there is a good chance that clause about about never giving up his car stays in his contract on the condition that he finishes every race the rest of this season.
I think Maldonado's got so much money behind him. I don't think there's any... I don't think they've got any wiggle room to negotiate. He's got a big sack of cash there. They say, well, we want you to do this, this and this. So that's really funny because this says I get to do that.
We want you to finish races.
I'm very
on
unlucky.
The track.
How many times have I got to tell you I'm very, very unlucky?
Well, no, he doesn't say that, does he? We want you to finish races. Yes, we're pushing as hard as we can. Just a switch whenever the word crash is mentioned or running out of spare parts, he just reverts to we will push as hard as we can this weekend. Do you have enough spares to get you through the weekend in case you hit someone in qualifying? Yes, it's always difficult, but we're going to push as hard as we can. No, answer the question!
You can imagine the boardroom party, you've got like the bloater's head, they're going, Pastor, do you not understand this? In this situation, this table, when you say we, that's us! That's all of us!
Yeah. Pastor, tea or coffee? Yes, we will push as hard as we can. We will get the most out of this drink.
Give it to him in a sippy cup.
Other cups aren't available for Venezuelan racing drivers. I'll use the word racing in quotes. I mean, talking to Maldonado, he has finished the last two races in the points, which is a personal best. That's equaled his personal best. Bleacher Report like to make wild predictions on sporting events and occasionally get them right. Like they said, the 49ers would beat the Ravens this weekend. Yeah, go Niners. They have said that they think Maldonado will break his record and not his car.
I'm with them. This is my past the disaster predictor made public.
A third consecutive point finish.
A third consecutive finish.
Oh no, they're saying third consecutive points finish. They are really sticking their necks out.
It's a very technical circuit of America's, isn't it?
Yeah, he's screwed.
Yeah, he's got absolutely no chance. I've got more chance of finishing that race.
So if you want to join in with the Pasta Disaster or Will Pasta Master predictor,
ooh.
Hey, drop us a tweet at 3 Legs 4 Wheels, and we'll see how things pan out this weekend.
Yeah. So, in other news, a certain Lewis Hamilton has been speculating about what could be done to spice up the weekend format of race weekends.
Knowing him, it will be a rap competition, fashion parade, and a who's got the fittest girlfriend this week contest.
It's going to be big, innit? Brap.
What can be done to spice it up? I mean, bearing in mind, as I've said before, he has turned into Andrew WK this season. Do we want to see a sprint race?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, probably agree with that.
Do we want to shake up qualifying? Let's start from the beginning of the weekend. Nothing's going to happen really with testing, is it? Unless they decide to test on Thursdays or, you know.
I can't see that happening, because I mean Thursday or Wednesday in Monaco is traditionally press day.
Yeah.
It is just full of press conferences, interviews, media duties.
Thursday's in Monaco is test day.
Thursday's practice day in Monaco, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry, I thought it was press day.
No, I said Thursday or Wednesday in Monaco.
Got you.
So, the day before free practice 1 and 2, is that better?
Yes.
Yeah, that is traditionally press day. So then you're looking at Friday, apart from the Monaco race, which is Thursday, for the first two practice sessions.
Everyone's got time for pims.
What can anything be done with those? Because you need the shakedown.
I think that the practice should not be considered as part of the entertainment. It's part of the teams doing the work that they need to do to be able to provide the entertainment. And so my feeling is whatever they need should go as far as free practice goes.
It's that cheap to go and watch practice. You know, it's on Friday. I think it's like 50 or 60 quid, you know, to go for Silverstone for the practice.
You think that's cheap?
It is compared to the £200 race ticket, yes.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
So if you're literally just going, I will pay my £50 to go and see a Formula One car, then there's no real cause to complain, you know.
Yeah.
It's a video game, it's a couple of DVDs, it's a couple of Blu-rays if you buy them, Joe. I think
they've got the first two free practice sessions spot on, because you have the first one in the morning, which is more of a shakedown, and installation and making sure the car works. Free practice 2 is held at the same time of day as qualifying and the race, so it's closer to race conditions. So you need to get your car on track then, and that's when most of the teams seem to do race or stint simulations.
Yeah.
Or qualifying sims.
I think the qualifying sims isn't really for track conditions. I think it's just the fact that it's the last chance to play the hand. You know, they can sandbag all they want in testing. Then you get those two or three laps at the end of a session where they'll turn everything up to almost full. That's just a way of keeping it secret. I don't know.
You do get teams. This was in the F1 show the other week. They do use it as practicing for the actual race, not making the car work.
Yeah.
FP3 on Saturday morning is last minute small adjustments, and then you're into the series part of it. And this is where the changes probably should come in.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to go back to one shot qualifying followed by a sprint race?
One shot qualifying. For anyone who wasn't watching Formula One in the 90s, you would have an hour-long qualifying session which consisted of about 55 minutes of an empty track and then 5 minutes of everyone getting out there.
No, the one-shot qualifying was everyone got one lap.
Oh, the one-lap thing.
Yeah,
oh.
that was the one-shot.
That's the worst qualifying to ever be in one-shot qualifying. That was worse than the, like, 90s... 1 hour, 12 laps, a lot.
There were some drivers that were good at it, and some, particularly David Coulthard, who weren't.
Oh, he was rubbish.
He was terrible at it, and it usually compromised most of his races.
Yeah.
And he actually said he was celebrating more than having a race win when they binned it. But if they're going to have a sprint race, surely they're going to need to cut qualifying down or remove one of the support events.
Well, we were only talking about before the podcast started if yet another GP2 champion doesn't manage to make his way into Formula One, does that make GP2 redundant? Because if GP2 is redundant, GP3 is definitely redundant. Just for the record, I'm not saying we should scrap it. I'm just saying if it's not serving, like,
if it's not serving its
purpose, then what's the fucking point? I thought so.
You need a second division series. Whatever happened to Bernie's great idea of F2 running parallel with it? Yeah, that died to death, didn't it?
Yeah. I mean, is there anything really saying that the maybe you could merge GP2 and 3 and just have one single feeder series?
GP2 and a half?
Yeah.
I think that...
GP3's got age limits, though.
Yeah, GP3 is the real rookies, people getting their very early introduction to single-seater racing.
But let's not pretend that these adjustments to Formula One are there to say they're not there to help motorsport is wrong. I'm not wording it properly there. The idea of shaking the weekend up is to get more bums on seats watching it on television and
absolutely.
More bums to circuits. So if they think that they could get...
You can't afford to go to a circuit if you're a bum, not to a quick for a race ticket.
But if they think they can get an extra X million people watching on Saturday rather than just the race on Sunday by getting rid of the GP3 race, then that's surely got to be the way forward.
I'm not going to advocate getting rid of junior series.
No.
Or start the whole thing off earlier. Then again, you've got to have sort of safety gaps built in. Just
you know what you could get rid of? Porsche Super Cup. Porsche Super Cup is shit. It's absolutely rubbish. You could get rid of that easy. And then you would literally have, when the Formula One circus rolled into town, it would be an open wheeled event.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
No, yep. Oh, God, he's right again.
I can't believe I just ended a whole racing series. I didn't realise I wanted to do
that. That would work. But how
it doesn't need to end, it just doesn't have to be a Formula One support race.
Yeah, how to each world endurance.
Well, yeah, because that's all closed cockpit, non-open wheel stuff. How would you run a sprint race, though? I mean, what would it need to be? Would you have to have mandatory pit stops, everyone on the same tyres? You'd be left at the mercy of what the Pirellis could do.
So are we keeping qualifying the same?
Keep qualifying the same, and then have a sprint race after qualifying.
Yeah, I think qualifying seems to be quite fair and still provides good entertainment.
Yeah.
So what would we do then? If we're all Bernie, and we are the strategy group. You have your qualifying. Does your qualifying sort the order out for the sprint race?
No, your qualifying sorts the order out for the feature race, and you do it like we do in GP2, where you have the...
sprint racing championship order?
Yeah.
Or reverse championship order?
Or the top... Or
I was going to say reverse qualifying order for the sprint race.
Certainly for the reverse the front half and the back half, because if you are going to get...
That's what Malvin Arda does every race.
Well, yeah, true. But you can't have a manor at the front, because it's just going to cause absolute carnage, because you're going to have...
The problem with reversing the front half and the back half is it means that if you're on the cusp of, in between being at the back of the front half and the front of the back half, mm-hmm. you're going to go from being at the front of the race to being at the back of the race at the start.
Yeah, that is true.
It would have to be a whole grid reverse if that was the case. The only thing with that I worry about is that getting too artificial? I know they do it in other series, but
or maybe just have it in qualifying order, and that's how.
Yeah. The other thing you've got to think is as well, if we're trying to cut costs,
Cut crusts. The you're opening yourself up to more damage on the cars.
You are. You're also opening yourself up to more expense, and we'd have to make serious changes in the amount of engines and engine components you could use, because all of a sudden you're getting the equivalent of another 50%. Or 25% of race distance.
I would imagine that a sprint race would be far harder on an engine.
I was just going to say
a full race would.
It's just going to be whacked up, unless if it's only for half points, so the teams don't try as hard, you know, and everything's turned halfway up. Then there's no real point in doing it, is there?
I don't know. If you're a mid to back of the grid team. And you know that the front teams are going to be
waiting till Sunday.
Then you could take your chance to get your sponsors some coverage.
Yeah,
grab some extra points in the championship.
Mm-hmm. But run the risk of writing your car off. They'd have to get rid of the parc fermé conditions because cars would need to be worked on different setups.
They'd have to bring back spare cars.
Yeah,
because with the I wonder if that's the way for it. You would have a sprint race car and a feature race car.
Or
is that too much expense again?
Or your fastest lap in the sprint race is your qualifying for the main race.
Now that would probably work.
Mm.
Because that would give seriously interesting strategy during the sprint race.
Yeah, picking when to go for. So maybe bin qualifying off. Or you'd have to qualify for the sprint race.
Yeah.
Or would you do that in championship order?
They won't bin qualifying off because it's the idea is to add more to the sport, not to simply take something away to replace it with a different way of doing it.
How many more people would watch the Saturday sprint race than watch qualifying?
Oh yeah, it sounds. I think the other thing.
If you line up in championship order and then.
Yeah. I think you'd probably get a lot more casual fans watching a sprint race as well. No, they don't want to sit there for a whole afternoon.
It's shorter. Yeah. It's only going to be 20 laps.
Yeah, but if like Dobbo and Dez are sat in the pub, and the feature race is on, that can probably keep their football brains entertained for 20 minutes or something like that without them thinking about birds.
I just point out I like football, but I watch Formula One over the football on a Sunday. I have to because I'm like blogging, and that's not to say that I don't have the football on a separate screen. I do. And this Saturday I'll be having football on one screen, American football on another, and the F1 on yet another.
And your girlfriend constantly putting money into the key meter.
No, she'll be writing about whatever sport she's covering at the time.
Sounds like there's an opening for a job in the Nicholson household.
Want to put money in the key meter? Yeah, probably. Or provider of possibly a fourth television screen.
run around in the hamster wheel.
Yeah. Train one of the cats. But change would be good, and I think a sprint race would make it. It would be good, like you say, for the casual fan.
Yeah,
I think there's a lot of value for the technology in seriously limiting the amount of fuel that can be used on in the long race, which is leading to the complaints of, well, there's all this fuel saving going on and Formula One should be about going full out all the time. The sprint race would give the series that back without taking away from the relevant fuel economy.
Would it?
It will be a shorter race distance, and they would have to have minimum a preset minimum amount of fuel. Say it's quarter race distance, they have to have a minimum of 30 kilos, so there's more than enough, so there's no lift and coast.
Yeah. Here's an interesting one for it then. Would you have points being allocated for the sprint race go towards the world championship, or would you have a sprint cup?
Both.
So because if you had the likes of, let's say Honda for next year somehow sorts their ears out a little bit, you know, and they're a bit more competitive, but their car's a little bit thirstier, then they know that they're going to fuel save more than Mercedes. Maybe they think they can have half a shot at going well in the Sprint Cup rather than the feature World Championship.
Yeah, but make it for both.
Yeah,
make it quarter points, quarter prizes for the quarter points that count towards the championship, quarter prizes for winning the Sprint Cup.
Right, okay.
It's quarter distance of the race.
Yeah. Okay, we've just fixed F1.
Again?
Yeah, twice in one night. Blimey. Shall we move on?
Let's move on. Let's cross the continent and head to Austin, which is where the F1 circus is rolling into town this weekend.
Yeah. Not on a jet ski.
Oh.
Yeah, they've got a long way to go. Are we going to get the cowboy hats on the podium after we had the Russian bonnets?
Oh, I hope so.
We've had the cowboy hats before.
Danny Rick was in a cowboy hat last year, wasn't he?
Yes,
he was. Yeah, they were cowboy hats.
Yeah, Lee's looking confused.
A little bit, because all I could think then was how excited I would be if one day Steve Austin presents the trophies on the podium.
Doing the interviews.
Oh, doing the interview.
Great. Just stunned as Nico.
Yeah, but Nico looks stunned all the time. So, what do we think we're going to see? Because, I mean, this is the ultimate Herman Tilke circuit, because every corner is based on another corner somewhere else.
It's Herman Tilke, the very best of.
Yeah, it's his greatest hit.
I couldn't remember last year's race, so I looked up the details on Wikipedia, and I still can't remember it. So, I'm thinking this is going to be more of a Sochi than a Suzuka.
Oh, I don't. I for some reason, I always have it in my head now that Austin's one of my favourite races of the year.
What happened last year then?
So I can't remember what happened last week then.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't a classic. Seb had a good drive. Got lucky with the safety car because of the first lap shunt. And managed to get from plum last to 7th.
It's amazing that you can do all this from memory.
Yeah, I am doing it from memory. Look, it's not on there. Here's one I read earlier. I have a very slow loading tablet because your Wi-Fi is useless. My tablet is useless.
I think your tablet's useless.
I don't seem to recall there being a great deal to write home about. I could actually go onto our website and look back at the live blog and see if anything happened. But no. What are we going to see?
It's a Mercedes track.
It's a Mercedes track. Definitely. Another wild prediction from Bleacher Report is that Red Bull are going to outscore Williams.
There are some pretty technical parts to the circuit.
So that's Maldonado screwed.
As well as some fairly long straights. So I think we've got Williams having a good charge on the straights, and then the Red Bulls maybe fighting back a bit in the twisty turny bits.
Yeah, that's definitely got potential. McLaren are going to struggle because of the long straights and the uphill sections, just because of the ERS problems.
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to harvest, and we're going to see lots of backing off.
Ferrari, I think, we'll see doing fairly well.
Yeah.
Which is relatively safe prediction at the moment,
isn't it? Pretty much is, yeah. Which Kimi are we going to see? The racy bonsai Kimi, or
I hope we've still got racy Kimi. I hope he's turned the wick down about 10% last race.
I hope he's turned the wick down none. If he'd have just like banged wheels with Bottas there, you know, and managed to get his way past without shoving him into a wall, we would still be talking about how great he was that weekend.
That's true, but he was nowhere near just banging wheels.
Really. Well, he banged wheels. He banged one of his wheels into the side of his car.
He locked up about a week before he got to it.
I'll admit, maybe it was ambitious.
Last time I saw that much of somebody being a passenger in an F1 car, it was when the two-seater McLaren was still going. Yeah, we're gonna. I think more of the same.
The Kimi that we saw at the start of the race the other week.
Yeah, not the Kimi that we saw at the end and then had his wrists well and truly slapped by the stewards.
Is he got a grid drop?
No, they just gave him a 30-second penalty.
just gave him enough to
enough to give Mercedes the
championship.
They could have anything more than a 30-second penalty would have been a grid drop at the next race.
But... David, I'd like to see lizards in that one.
Be dinosaurs this week. Everything's bigger in Texas.
Force India's did very well in Sochi. How will they do in Austin?
I think we will see a similarly good performance from them. They have been my surprise of the season because I spent the early part of the year in a few podcasts before you joined us, Dan, absolutely slating them and saying they probably, by the time we got to Austin, they would actually have done a Marussia Caterham and they wouldn't be there because the car wouldn't be competitive and they'd run out of money because the one or two sponsors that they've got that aren't owned by Vijay Mallya would pull the money out because it was just an embarrassment.
Yeah.
And got that wrong in
shovels. Shovels, in
spectacular scalp. But I am happy to admit that I was wrong back then. Mm-hmm. And I think we're gonna see good solid performance. We'll see at least one Force India in Q3. I'm probably cursing them now. And I reckon we've got a good chance of seeing them both in the points.
I don't see any issues with that. Did Perez make it to Q3 last week?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. It'd be nice to see Hulk do, you know...
If Hulk can get over the technical problems that he's been having, because he has had no luck.
He can't buy any, but it'd be nice to see him do well, because you've got to think that, given where Perez ended up,
we just want to see
that might have been Hulkenberg, if his car would have gone there.
Yeah, we just want to see him running fifth at some point, don't we?
At least he can get a podium. I still find it amazing that he hasn't got a podium in his career.
Bad luck or bad management. And a lot of times it's been bad luck.
I don't know, is there a case we made that you've got certain drivers, Perez has done it a couple of times. They make their own luck. They're really good drivers.
Mm. There are drivers who consistently appear to have bad luck. Yeah. Johnny Herbert was
a prime example.
And there are drivers.
Coulthard was pretty unlucky. I know he got a load of wins, but he was still a pretty unlucky driver.
Mm. Johnny Herbert was the best. He was in position to win a race, and on the radio they said he'll have to pull into the pits. Why? One of the mechanics has left a spanner under your pedals.
And there are drivers who seem to get luck every time there is any luck to be had. Schumacher was...
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
An awesome driver, but he very, very rarely had bad luck.
Some of the stuff that happened for Schumacher, you know, with like other people dropping out of the race, it's not just him. You know, it was like divine intervention sometimes. It was crazy.
Yeah, he always seemed to hit the perfect storm in his favour.
Yeah.
But not saying that's the only reason that he won all the races and titles that he did. But
I think sometimes he hit other drivers.
Yeah.
I think part of the challenge to being a great driver is making everything that happens be good luck for you.
But,
Sauber. Now, they've shown slight improvements recently. Is this going to continue?
I hope so. They have... Felipe Nasr is a solid driver.
Mm.
It would be great to see him doing well. Ericsson, not quite as solid, but I think he's got a bit of a poor reputation that he doesn't deserve.
Yeah, I think Nasr's been the less anonymous of the two, shall we say. No, they've definitely shown a bit more of themselves of late.
He doesn't strike me as a driver that should be in Formula One, though, Ericsson.
Go on.
I think he's about where he should be.
I put him in the same boat. Well, you think he should be in Formula One?
Yeah, but if Ericsson wasn't being Formula One, that would actually mean there'd be Van der Gaard in the car.
I prefer Van der Gaard. At least Van der Gaard was a... He's a better racing driver than Ericsson.
And a character.
Undoubtedly, a twat. But you can't say he deserved to go in Formula One. he's just too tall for it. You know, Alex Wurz was the same. But I put Ericsson in the same box as Chilton. I think he's there because of...
Oh, he's not that slow.
he's got a quicker car. I think Max Chilton could have been just as fast as Ericsson in that car.
Max Chilton wouldn't have been as fast as Ericsson if he was driving a Mercedes.
No, I think they're exactly the same driver. Actually, I just think that I don't think either of them are good. They're good enough to be racing drivers, obviously, but they're not good enough to be Formula One drivers.
We've got lead back now.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, it's just what Mark Webber was saying the other day about the lack of depth within the field. And if you look at his statement and agree with it, which I do, then you've got to look at people like Ericsson that are the lack of depth. Because it's not Fernando Alonso.
I don't know, there is depth there with Alonso. It's usually sort of really deep down mired in 18th place.
Yeah.
What do we think we're going to see out of Toro Rosso's this weekend?
I think we might have an interesting race between the two of them.
Carlos Sainz... Man on a mission at the minute.
Went around getting all the headlines that Verstappen's used to having.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, absolutely stunning performance in Sochi. Yeah. To get up to seventh from... after the accident, no qualifying.
Yeah.
Wrung the neck of the car.
Yeah. I've said it before, I think that he has been quite underrated this season.
I think he has.
He's got a spectacular teammate, but I think he's the far more solid driver.
I still think there's every reason to argue that over the course of time, that Sainz will be the better driver than Verstappen. I think he will mature better and mature into more of a...
Well, he's further along the path to maturity.
Yeah, well...
Which makes it hard to compare them.
Only by a year, though, isn't it? Is he 18? Are they both 18 now, or is he...
No,
21.
Sainz is
21. Oh, is he?
He's got 3 years on 3 years on Max.
But when you look at... If you look at Verstappen as a Lewis Hamilton type of driver, I think there's more chance of Sainz being more of an Alonso all-rounder of a driver.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably agree with that. Verstappen will stick his foot down and go for it.
Yeah, he's got an on button.
Sainz will get the best out of whatever car he's in
every weekend, and that's what wins championships.
Yeah, I mean, I still think we are looking at two future world champions with
this. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I think we could be looking at Prost Senna type competitions for the next 10 years between those two.
Very easily. But I think they will perform. Point. See if the car can hold out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because that was Sainz's problem last time out, where the brakes went. But was that because he was having to push the car too hard to get to where he was? Give him a good qualifying and he might be able to go slightly easier on the car because he won't have as much ground to make up.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how much the having a Mercedes lump in the back of your car makes a difference as well. That might be bad luck for the Toro Rossos.
I think the twisty bits are going to help the Renault engine cars.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but that's it. The twisty bits will help the Adrian Newey-Aero packaged cars, I'd imagine, more than the Renault-powered cars. So, yeah.
The Adrian Newey bits are going to make them stick to the road better during the twisty bits.
Yeah,
and then,
you don't know exactly what's carried over. Because, I mean, I think there was a couple of us, you and Flood, that were particularly harsh on Red Bull compared to Toro Rosso at the beginning of the year. And I don't, just because they got in front of them a couple of times, I'm generally in front of Kvyat, that Red Bull is a better car than the Toro Rosso.
I think it was Flood that came up with the phrase to describe Kvyat, where the car is outcarring the driver. Kvyat seems to have solved that problem now, and he's actually
a little bit. But
yeah, he's got his head screwed on a little bit better than he had at the start of the season.
Yeah, but you saw it as soon as there was half a sniff of getting a podium or a win, it was Ricciardo that was pushing for those, and Kvyat was still in sixth or seventh place.
I think Danny Rick is a more natural racer.
Yeah.
Than Kvyat. It doesn't help where Kvyat was not exactly amenable to following team orders or instructions or heavily weighted suggestions from the pit wall.
Yeah.
The other thing is, we know that this car suits Danny Rick. We know that because he repeatedly beat a four-time world champion in a very, very similar car.
That
quite
is true.
Quite openly this week, Vettel turned around and said that after he was getting continually beat by Ricciardo, that last year he started to doubt his own talent, which I thought was quite open, quite honest from a racing driver.
Red Bull said would never have said that.
That's
a Ferrari said thing.
Yeah. But then again, it's quite easy to be magnanimous when you do well.
Well, we've talked quite a lot about Lewis having matured a lot this season.
Yeah.
I think Sebastian Vettel has as well.
Yeah, I think it's Sebastian Vettel's ace.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ferrari Seb is a lot less...
likeable.
Yeah, I don't want to go as far as saying he used to be up himself, but... he's less up himself.
It's probably hard not to be up yourself when you've won the last three world championships and you're on your way to the fourth.
Well, yeah. Yeah, and I'm sure he'll be battling for his fifth next season.
Yeah.
It would not surprise me. I suppose we've got to say something about Manor. How far off the pace do we think they're going to be this week?
Quite badly.
I'm thinking a good 4 or 5 seconds.
Is Rossi back in the car for us?
Yes, he is.
Yes, because it's the American one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rossi is only now not racing at the remaining GP2 races.
Speaking of Rossi, did either of you watch the F1 show last weekend?
No.
There's a man that enjoys himself.
Let's face it, we all do from time to time.
No, we're not. Well, possibly, but I'd imagine he does it in the mirror while telling himself just how cool he is. Right? He just came across so badly on television. He was only interested in himself. If there was a question being asked that was about him, he'd answer it. If it was about anything else, he sort of didn't realise. And he came across as being arrogant, but arrogant to the point of being completely backwards. Because,
and that's me forgetting to turn my phone on silent.
I think I just won an award.
And that is me now turning my phone on silent.
But yeah, I know he came across really badly. It made me think as well. Maybe that's why he's not got the drive with the American team for next year. Maybe they don't think that. If he's personable enough to put in front of a camera, because he came across as being a bit of a dick sucker.
Which, yeah, it is a bit strange with Haas having all the Ferrari backing and Rossi having the Ferrari backing and Ferrari putting him in the manor.
Yeah.
And Ferrari 2 appear not to want him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The American driver not being wanted by the American team.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's it. Yeah. All the stars line up for that move, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, we thought it was going to be an absolute shoo-in because we were convinced that there was going to be an American driver.
And Scott Speed.
Yeah, I mean, I was just about to say, certain people on Twitter, hello Mr. Walker, were talking about Scott Speed being a potential. Do not let that man in a Formula One car ever again.
Yeah, he's not going to be in a Formula One car ever again.
No. Well, maybe on like track days and demonstrations.
Literally, the only thing quick about him is his surname.
You might get to see him at Goodwood one year.
Why?
Because it's called the Festival of Speed.
I set him up, you knock him down. I was hoping one of you would go for that. I think we're about done here. Yeah,
so I was just going to say quickly about the Rossi shenanigans. It is weird because when you think about it, he's second in the championship stuff of Van Doorn, so it's not even like he's done badly.
No, but at least it means he'll get a GP2 drive next year, and that might actually just shave a few of the edges off. Then again, if he wins, is he going to get more arrogant?
Probably.
Oh, there you go then. I think that about covers everything that we've got this week.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
Are we going to have some predictions?
We're going to have some past the disaster predictions.
No. Who do you think? What do you think?
Oh, Lewis.
Lewis.
It's a safe bet, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's kind of like betting on one out of a field of one. Nico's beaten. He'll still make all the noises. I mean, he's said this week, I'm only thinking about the championship, not thinking about where I am in relation to Vettel. You're behind him, mate.
Lewis said he's not thinking about the championship anymore, so he must be at ease that he's been home.
He's thinking about his DJ career.
No, he's been home, he's looked at his cabinet and goes, I can fit another trophy there, everything's fine.
That's not it's not the DJ career, he's been playing piano this week.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I think that Vettel could have a chance at Austin, but my money would still have to be on Hamilton.
I am going Lewis first, Vettel second, and Nico third.
I don't think Nico will be on the podium.
Ooh.
Who are you thinking for third then?
I don't know. Danny Ricciardo.
That's better than the Red Bulls have done for most of this year, so that's pretty brave.
Bold predictions, and you're on the Slagging Bleacher Report off earlier.
I think I'd have to go, because it's Texas, I'd have to go with the conservative. Hamilton first, Nico second, Vettel third.
See how that pans out. Right, don't forget to get your past the disaster predictions into us. You've got until 2 hours before the race on Sunday, which I think is a 6 o'clock UK start, is it? 5 or 6?
I think so, something like that. Though, yeah. We did our past the disasters sometime after lap one the other week.
Yeah, we did them after lap one, and Lee still put lap one, turn one.
Well, I was honest about it. That's what I would have gone for. That's what I intended to go for.
Admittedly, during the last race, I was busy fixing the web server that the site and the podcasts are hosted on. Once again, thanks, guys, at Southwest Broadband. Hurry up and get your name change sorted so you can send us a logo to put on the website. I know you're listening to this. No, they're talking to me. So I do know they are listening to this. So, yes, get your past the disaster predictions into us. I'll be live blogging the race. Flood won, as he will be approximately 30,000 feet in the air flying home.
Come back, Flood, we miss you.
As it turns out, he was the voice of Sensible.
I just don't think he's the voice of Sensible.
He's the voice of all the accents.
Yeah.
We've done all right this week.
We haven't done too bad.
Lee was the voice of Sensible for 10 minutes.
Yeah, I'm going
to... And on that scary thought...
Yeah, I'm going to go have a stiff drink and lie down. So, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.